Welcome to the Safety Podcast, where we connect health, safety and environment to keep you learning, evolving and having a positive impact. Thanks for taking the time to join us for this episode. Let's get started. Hey there, thanks for stopping by this week on the Safety Podcast. I've teamed up with my arch nemesis. Only joking, he's not really my arch nemesis, but he's a fellow podcaster involved in health and safety, and you might have already heard of him. His name is Colin Nottage. He's the host of the Health and Safety, or Interesting Health and Safety podcast. Obviously, we're both based in the UK and Ireland, and we realised that we were doing something very similar, and we got chatting, and really wanted to just make a podcast together. Didn't really know what it was going to be about, and nor did we plan for what it turned out to be. We just really got on a call, started chatting about what we're respectively doing, and I suppose I thought that my audience might be interested just to hear a bit about what it is we're both doing, our approaches, what the whole idea about doing the podcast and things about, and what we're doing in our respective businesses and so on. And we just had a frank conversation about our experiences and, you know, how it's been for us personally and from a business point of view and that type of thing. And I thought it might be interesting, you know, for you guys to hear that. Colin's going to be releasing the podcast recording as well via his channel, so you will be able to pick it up on either podcast. So that's it really as a means of introduction to this podcast. It's just me and Colin Nottage shooting the breeze and hopefully, you know, being open and honest so you can get to know us a bit better. And obviously it was us just trying to get to know each other a bit better as well. So hopefully you enjoy our discussion. So we'll crack on, let you listen to it.
So do you run, you got your own sort of health and safety consultancy then? Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. I do a mix of things, I guess. And I suppose a lot of what I'm doing at the moment is tasting and testing and trying different bits and pieces, you know. Or just do a bit of consultancy and just sort of slowly building up sort of retain clients, I guess. As part of what I'm doing, and then I'm actually doing a bit of media stuff with a couple of big organizations actually around their communications. Because I do the podcasting and I do a lot of online stuff, communications is really a big interest of mine. And there's a lot of organizations that struggle with the communications around EHS. There's one or two of them have come across my profile, I suppose, and we've got chatting, and there's different pilot projects that I'm running with a few of them, and other ones up and running now with podcasting, you know, internally as their internal communications. Okay. So I'm helping them, facilitating that.
That's interesting.
I've got equipment, and yeah, it is. It's a bit different. It's a bit of a niche area, but it's something I really enjoy, actually, you know, is helping them with that and creating content and learning internally and improving messaging and stuff, because a lot of their problems is engagement, you know, a lot of their issues. I actually have spoken and worked alongside some software companies, and most of their issues are around engaging people in health and safety.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm sure you're well aware of.
It's fun. I mean, you know, good communication is what it's all about, and you know, and anything that you can do to improve that is going to be a benefit. And I love the idea that you got there of helping a business set up their own podcast. I mean, what sort of things are they talking about?
So the types of things that I'd be working with them on are just really digging into a lot of the information that they have. You know, if you imagine, you know, a large construction company, for example, you know, they're going to have a lot of large projects and a huge amount of potential learning that can be achieved from incidents, near misses, accidents that they have ongoing. And the way that they're communicating them are for the most part, very traditional. You know, it's an email blast with, you know, a PDF summary of the findings or what have you, at most, if not, you know, something even worse than that, and not even communicating it directly at all. So just what I'm able to do with them is, you know, develop some learning content around that. So we'd be creating conversations with the people who are involved either in the incident directly or indirectly, you know, managing the project and bringing them in to discuss the findings of the investigations, for example, and the learning from it, and creating podcasts around that and then sharing that with the whole organization, you know. So that in itself is obviously much more engaging than an email. People are really interested to hear people they know speaking on the microphone and on a podcast, and to hear what they have to say about, you know, certain aspects of their work and what have you. And it also gives people on the ground an opportunity to get involved in the content creation as well, which they really find, you know, they find good, because it's something new, it's something different, and it's a bit of a challenge for them, and it's a bit novel, you know.
I think that's really interesting, because I actually did an IOSH managing safety training course last week, I think it was, might have been a week before, and when it got to the accident investigation module, which I think is module 6, something like that, there was one of the slides there, and it was just talking about the benefits of doing an accident investigation, and it talked about stopping these sort of incidents happening again, improving morale, improving productivity, and there was a couple of other bits and pieces in there, and I just thought, you know, why wait for the accident? You know, why not do these things? And we've been doing a bit of work with one of our clients, yeah, where we've been sitting down and just talking about their processes on recording, just talking about their processes and challenging the way that they do stuff, and getting better processes, better systems, better interaction with their employees, but I've never thought about, you know, making a podcast with them about it, if you know what I mean. It's just something that we've done, and I just think that's a really, really great idea. That I really well done with that, mate.
Well, I mean, I suppose it came about. it came about. It's something that I suppose I always hoped, you know, I would be able to do. But it's trying to gauge the appetite of a business to actually do it is difficult. And I suppose it was just organic that this has happened. But there certainly is, you know, a lot of interest in it. And as you're saying there, you know, it is really for me. It's something that I'm really passionate about, so it makes it easy. You know, with my experiences and what have you, I think, you know, it can help. And obviously being involved in media production, you know, from the technical aspects, then that's not so much of a challenge. Mm. But it's really about getting, as you're saying, you know, the workers involved. So if it's, for example, a near miss or a report of something, even a positive report of a project that's gone well, you know, why not create a dialogue around a positive project and share that with the whole business and explain why it worked well, how your team worked well together, you know, how you integrated with other functions, you know, and learn from that and improve that way. And I just think there's so much information in businesses that we don't share.
How long have you been podcasting now then?
Sorry, I'm just having a sip of my coffee there. Let me see. We're coming up to 2 years in May, actually. Believe it or not.
I've only been going since June. Beginning of July is when I sort of did my first few episodes. And
yes, I saw you popping up there, and you've done very well with your SEO and your search engine optimization and everything.
You know, my ops director Tracy's really, she's all over that, and she she makes but all sorts of bits and pieces that we then use in the you know, you're sort of using a podcast or the audio of it for the podcast, obviously, and then a lot of social media on LinkedIn and stuff like that. But what I've I've just found it a really, really fascinating just process of just you know, talking about stuff, and I suppose I've changed me thinking a lot about, you know, you were saying then about being frightened of giving stuff away. I just think now, let's just get stuff out there and give it to people, because you know, it's just so valuable to them as individuals to then go and take something, you know, and make it happen, you know. And I got a bit of feedback from one of the listeners just saying, you know, can't remember what we're talking about. I was talking about fire safety or manual handling or something, and he just said, he goes, you know, he went out and just chatted to the people in the workplace and made a difference, made an improvement. And for me, that's just brilliant. You know, that's what it's about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of topics that I guess we learn about, and you maybe don't feel that comfortable talking about it, and you kind of have to force yourself into it sometimes. And once you start looking into the detail of a topic, you realize actually, you know, I have a bit of experience, a bit more than I thought there. But I think just the process, as you said there, Colin, you know, the process of doing it in itself is a very good learning experience, you know, from a personal point of view as well. But the thought that you might help people, you know, really drives me. And funny enough, just similar to what you were saying there, somebody reached out to me yesterday from like California randomly, which may or may not be listening to the podcast now. But it was a lady. She was fascinated by the fact that there would be a podcast on EHS or safety, and thought it was amazing that we were doing something like this, you know. And I just thought, wow, isn't that unreal that someone from that far away can just pick up. I don't know how she found us. Now we're connected on LinkedIn, you know, and obviously the conversations we're having are, you know, are helping and supporting, you know, that EHS professional in some way or other, which, as you say, I think that's really just an awesome bit of positive feedback that motivates you, you know.
Absolutely. I've been so lucky to have met some just really lovely people, you know, doing this, doing the podcast, and just spending time talking to people and getting their views and getting their opinions. And I think it's definitely made me a better person, even in the last 6 months. I'm a better person now from doing the podcast than I was before, because I've got more knowledge, more rounded exposure to, there's some great people and some great ideas.
Yeah, there's some really smart people, some really interesting folks out there, you know, who've done great work. And I think what it makes you realise is just the spectrum of, you know, of approaches and of ways of working, I guess, that maybe beforehand you wouldn't be so, you know, so knowledgeable about. And then being able to share that with everyone else, I guess, you know, that's where the value is, I think. And do you think there's an opportunity for health and safety professionals or business leaders, you know, having discussed what we've talked about here and what we're doing to help some clients, do you think there's an opportunity with podcasting more generally in terms of using it as an internal communications mechanism?
I mean, I think that's a brilliant idea. I think it's, you know, people receive information in so many different ways, and, you know, and some people just don't respond to the written word, and some people like to look at images, and some people like to listen to stuff. I think one of the sort of, I do a lot of work in sort of fairly heavy industry, and so, you know, I do quite a bit of work in the quarrying environment, and I think it's always a little bit difficult to, you know, to get the people right at the sharp end of the business to be able to actually listen to stuff, because, you know, they don't, you know, the companies don't really want them having things like phones and that on when they're in the workplace. So it's, you know, so there's always going to be a bit of a challenge there about getting them to listen to stuff right at the sharp end during the working day. But I think just giving people different ways of receiving a simple health and safety message is brilliant, you know, I really love that concept that you're talking about there.
I think the other thing is actually that's been brought up with us, you know, with various clients, is the big challenge around language, around reading skills and literacy for a lot of their workforces and a lot of industries. You know, the folks are being communicated to either with written word that they can't really understand or isn't communicated to them well, or, you know, it is being done or said to be done, you know, via toolbox talk or something of that nature. But with the podcasting, that it overcomes a lot of those struggles, and it also means that you don't have to, now, not talking about the digital device thing, I mean, we've all got smartphones, let's face it, you know, how you communicate that, whatever channel you're going to use, it may be an internal channel, maybe external. There's multiple ways that you can do that. You can send it via an email and then just be listened to, you know, as an audio file, which is another way to do it. But there's a huge amount of options. But the thing is, you know, people can listen to it at any time. You don't have to bring hundreds of people together, or groups of people together. So the amount of downtime involved then can be reduced as well. And then also, you know, if you want to go to the point of actually tracking it to see how many people are consuming it, how long it's being consumed for, you know, you can really drill down into how good your communications is, or communications are. So, you know, that's really powerful, I think, for businesses, not only from a health and safety point of view, but just from more generally communicating to their workforce. And as you say, you know, it's fundamental. Communication is fundamental. So I think a lot more businesses should be asking themselves, you know, how well do they communicate with their employees?
And I really agree that you know, it's not about just communicating a health and safety message to your employees. It's about communicating with your employees. And I think being able to build the messages in a way that includes health and safety and includes environment and quality and productivity and profitability and whatever it is, there's a message you want to put out there, you know, just, you know, well-being and whatever. It's just really, really great to create that route to market. It's not really, but you know, that route to people that need to be.
And as I said, you know, a lot of it, which I'll be talking to someone later today from the Netherlands regarding the challenges around participation as part of the new ISO standard for health and safety, which we'll probably touch on, you know, some of this, but he'll have some good ideas in that respect. But that's a big challenge for businesses, is the participatory part of it. You know, actually, how do you create participation? And whenever you talk about getting the message right, I mean, you're bang on there with the point that it shouldn't be, this is a health and safety message, this is a health and safety instruction. And, you know, quite surprisingly, with some of the clients I'm working with, they are trying to go down that route when it comes to creating the content. I suppose that's where I come in to say, look, you can't communicate the same thing via a podcast that you're going to communicate via your email, because there was a reason why they weren't opening the email. You know, it wasn't just because they didn't want to hear from me, it's because the message inside it is poor. So what I'm trying to help them do is create stories. You know, and it's a storytelling narrative around something or some things that are happening in the business. So, you know, making it as relatable and relevant to the people that are hearing it as possible. You know, create a story. If it's learning from a near miss or something like that, which obviously everybody listening, I'm sure, you know, will understand, then create a story as to how that happened. You know, and real people involved, and real people actually telling the story, people that they know probably as well. So that in itself creates a whole other communications piece that is much, much different from what people are currently doing. Do you know what I mean?
No, and it's you know, one of the things that we're just starting to explore at the moment is this thing called dynamic advertising. And you know, and it's about being able to sort of just embed into the podcast that was recorded, you know, 12 months or 2 years ago, another message that is relevant. And you know, and now, you know, obviously the idea behind it is to sell something, but just, you know, chatting and listening to you there, you know, you could actually, you know, the thing that you're selling is the message to the person at the sharp end of the business. And so what you can do is when people listen to older episodes, because that's the beauty of the podcast, it's always there, they can go back to it. You can have an up to date message. So if you did a podcast about, just for argument's sake, about manual handling, then you can also embed into that message that we've got in company manual handling training course going ahead in 3 weeks' time. Make sure you speak to the HR department to get along to it. And so, you know, so what it does is it can create that buzz, can't it? It can create that real time improvement because you can put a current message into an old piece of into an old message.
Absolutely, absolutely, Colin. And obviously, we didn't come on to this podcast just so everybody knows to sell to sell anything. Just to give it a bit of context, I sort of said to Colin, you know, what do you want to chat about? And I thought myself, you know, let's just discuss our journey in podcasting from each of our unique perspectives, I suppose. And this is the direction we're going in. But yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, you can go back again, go back to one of the people we're working with at the moment. You know, they within one project, they're creating most of the material, but they're disseminating that across the whole business, and the business is vast. You know, so a message about learning around a particular topic that's happened within their business is going to apply, you know, 99% to everywhere else in the business. So that's going to be disseminated. It's going to be stored. It can be reissued, you know, and it can be amended, as you're saying, to make it more current. So you can put a message into it, whatever you want. But, you know, and all of a sudden, just as we're doing, Colin, with our own podcast and stuff, you're building up a whole a library of content and stuff that can be reutilized and repurposed, you know, in the future. And for a business, I think that's highly valuable.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
For sure.
So what, I mean, you know, what, how do you sort of, you know, plan the topics and that you're going to be talking about, you know, on the podcast? What's, you know, what's your sort of process for, you know, for making sure you don't talk about the same thing over and over and over again, I suppose?
I suppose just for that. Well, that's a good point. I mean, that, it is something that is a challenge. But you know, I don't. I guess at the start, I try to be more process led. But for me, I guess I'm leaning towards just allowing the person to tell their individual perspective and story on whatever it is we're talking about, without and with a consciousness of trying to avoid going over the same stuff over and over again. But I think, you know, I think, well, what I find, I don't know if you agree with this, but when you do try and dig into personal experiences, you know, they are unique. So I think the biggest threat is us having the same people on every week.
Yeah.
Maybe that's probably more of it. I think there's so many people out there. And, you know, something I want to really do is to get more and more people that are involved in HSE or business leadership on the ground just to come on and chat on the podcast and let us know how they're getting on. You know, it doesn't have to be gurus or people that, you know, think they know more than everyone else about a particular subject. Although people do like hearing from subject matter experts, you know, I think there's a lot of value in just hearing, you know, from everyone else, you know, who may think they're a run-of-the-mill health and safety manager, because each of their experiences are valuable. What are you
reckon? Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I do a lot of work in the quarrying industry, and so I've been getting some guests who are people that are influencers, and you know, in that particular sector. You know, so that's been really great just to listen to, because the quarry industry is you know, it's an old industry, but it's, you know, and it's had its challenges, you know, I was fortunate enough to interview a guy called Phil Redmond recently, who basically works for a company called Hansen, and just listening to his view and his approach on how the industry is changing from just looking at the physical conditions, just looking at the plant and equipment and guarding, and starting to look more at the people and their well-being and, you know, the mental health issues. You know, when I joined the quarry industry years ago, you know, it was a rough, tough industry, you know, mainly male dominated, and nobody wanted to talk about it. Yet now it's, you know, it was just really great to hear somebody at the top of the business, you know, engaging in such a positive way about, you know, about something as important as that. So, you know, so I think, you know, one of the things that I want to try and do, you know, is talk to people about things that are going to improve and challenge, you know, the well-being, the health, as well as the safety side, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see, even in industries, as you say, that are probably, traditionally male-dominated and very, heavy industries, that you're seeing that change actually happen. It's encouraging, isn't it? As well, and I see there's quite a lot of, as you were saying earlier, you're up in Aberdeenshire, last or during the week there. Did you or are you involved in maritime or anything to do with any of the oil and gas industries up there? I know there's some folks there that are doing a lot of work around mental health. I see quite a lot of it on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I mean, on this particular visit, I wasn't. I was actually with a company that makes concrete products. But there was a there's you know that the, there's just a there's a real understanding now that the health, the mental well-being of people is fundamentally, the things that you need to be focusing in on. And just moving, not moving away from the safety side of things, because there's all, the safety's here and now, isn't it? It's the things you can see straight away. But how people feel, and they're, it's continually pushing that boundaries, and looking at good ideas and good practices that that business are doing, how they're tackling these kind of issues, is the message that I really want to try and push out and give other people the opportunity to engage with.
I think one of the big challenges for us, and whenever I speak to a lot of the folks on the podcast, is that a lot of them are working with bigger organizations. Maybe, and that's probably why I'm interested in getting, drilling down to those that are working for the smaller folks to see how they're coping and what they're doing. Because speaking to the businesses that are employing thousands of employees and have huge resources, isn't necessarily reflective of the whole picture. Do you know what I mean? And is there a disconnect there, do you think? Do you think that there are people listening to these types of conversations and feeling a bit isolated or a bit helpless in terms of actually, bringing these types of changes into businesses? Is
Well, I think
it too
it's
much of a stretch for them, do you think?
I think, I mean, smaller businesses have got tighter budgets. So it's there's always going to be a challenge there. And I think they're often, product production is a big factor, and it's trying to break through that. One of the things I chair a thing called the Construction Dust Partnership, and it's something that evolves. And when we first started, I've been involved with it for about 4 or 5 years now. And it's the health and safety executive and construction industry and the unions and suppliers to the industry getting together and trying to raise awareness of construction dust. And when the group first started out, it was very, very much occupational health specialists were on the group. But we've tried to sort of change the membership of the group now, and actually trying to get people to come onto the group. We've got some great messages, but it's getting those messages out to the people that matter. So we're now talking to people like building centres, lots of Jewsons and companies like that, so that we can engage with the person who's turning up in the van, who's going to be hiring some gear to go and do a job somewhere, and is going to expose themselves to potentially to some harmful dust. And so it's always difficult to get that message right down to the people that are right at the sharp end,
Yeah, doing the work.
doing the work. And the big businesses, I suppose the HSE in the past have been, again, if I could just go back to the quarrying side of things, but they'll if they go into the likes of Tarmac or Hampton, and they make a difference. They make a difference with a lot of people, because those companies employ a lot of people. Whereas if they go onto a small quarry where there's only 3 or 4 employees for the same amount of time, they're having an impact on a lot less people. And I'm not saying that HSE do this, but I'm just saying that there's a risk that you spend all your time with the big guys, and you don't influence the people in the smaller organisations. And one of the things that we're trying to do is build a relationship with some of the some of the trade associations that they're out there, you know, who have got more of an impact with the smaller organizations.
Yeah.
Using things like a podcast to get the message out to those people, because it's a free resource, isn't it? It's something they can just switch on and listen to.
I think we can feel comfort in the fact that maybe we've worked with a large organization, or you know, we've reached a large number of people. But as you say, you know, if you're going to a business with 500 people, and giving them information or having a conversation around something like dust, if you were to look at the supply chains that are connected with that business, and the supply, you know, the subcontractors and the smaller businesses associated with it, you know, how many of those are there, and how many people would be involved in that conversation? Yep. You know, going back to, I suppose, podcasting and where we can add value there, have you, I suppose, one risk that there is, and I've already experienced it to an extent, is that we can isolate ourselves by only speaking to health and safety people. My background is strongly environmental as well. And I've had a lot of conversations around environmental engineering. I've had a lot of conversations with professional bodies and what have you about doing an environmental series. And it hasn't come off just yet through various reasons. But whenever I do ask for environmental professionals to come on, because I really, really am interested personally, and because I know it will give value to HSE professionals, because I've spoke to them, I've asked them. One of the things I think is happening is that maybe they're a bit afraid to come on and speak in front of a load of safety professionals.
Mm. I suppose one of the challenges that we have is that you know, your podcast is called Safety, and mine's called the Interesting Health and Safety Podcast.
I know. So
we sort of compartmentalised ourselves a little bit there.
Yeah.
But I think there's, you know, I don't think there's any harm at all in talking about something if it's interesting, and if you can relate it back to, you know, to the things that are important, you know, which is about engagement and communication, then if you're talking from an environmental perspective about that, then it's going to be just as valuable as if you're talking from a health and safety perspective. Now, in reference to your point about people coming on, I suppose it really depends on the individual. I mean, I haven't actually, as of yet, interviewed that many health and safety professionals. You know, the people that I've sort of spent time interviewing up to now, I've had a couple of solicitors on, sort of given a legal aspect. But I've had sort of business leaders, and you know, and the people at the top of, you know, and so they're giving, I suppose what they're doing is giving a more rounded sort of
view, yeah.
You know, and so but I do want to talk to some health and safety professionals, and I definitely want to talk to some machine operators and people that make widgets or whatever it may be. You know, right.
Yeah, me too. I want to actually lean towards interviewing more folks similar to what you've done. Although I have had, you know, people representing from different avenues of the HS world, I would like to speak to more generalists, maybe, you know, people involved in human resources and people involved in a lot of functions that keep being mentioned on my podcast, probably. But yeah, just to get that more rounded view, I think would be highly valuable. And as well as that, but as you say, you know, if we could possibly get people on who are, as you keep referencing, at the sharp end, doing the work to get some honest opinions on what they think our challenges are, that would be really interesting.
Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's, you know, because, you know, people that aren't used to talking can get a bit daunted by the process. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, one of the things that I've noticed when I've done my podcast is sometimes the best content has come after the podcast has finished. And so people, you know,
people relax.
Yeah, they just relax and they start to talk, you know, they just start to talk a lot more comfortably. And I suppose, you know, it's about creating that environment. I was fortunate enough just before Christmas to go on a, uh, an expert speakers course. It was a five day course with a company called Progressive in Peterborough, and the guy called Robert who ran the course. He created this environment that was safe but challenging, and we had like 20 people in the room who transformed in those 5 days. They transformed from being people that were a bit uncomfortable to talk to people at the end that were just really, really confidently talking about something that was really important to them. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. And when we look back and analyzed it, and as a group we've spoken about it afterwards, it was down to creating that environment that encouraged people to be open. And I think, you know, if we want to start talking to people at the sharp end of the business more, then you don't turn up on a Wednesday with a microphone and say, talk about it. It's you almost have to, you know, build it over a few weeks or whatever it may be to get the people to understand what you're trying to do, but also to, you know, to want to participate. And if people want to do it, then they're going to be so great at it, you know, because they are, you know, the people at the sharp end again, they are the experts, aren't they? They're the people that know how to do stuff.
You're dead right there. It's something, I suppose, you know, some of the folks that I'm working with, when it comes to participation, you know, they're probably already at quite a progressed stage. Not all businesses would have that rapport or maybe trust, you know, built between management and employees, you know, to allow the employees to be comfortable to do something like create a podcast themselves or what have you. But I think you're absolutely right. Whenever, you know, whenever you do get to that point and allow those folks to air their views and be honest, then that's where the real, real deep value comes from. So now it's interesting you should say about the course you were on. I think that learning and that creating that safe environment just transcends into just general business, and probably most of the people listening, their own challenges around getting truthful and honest information from employees. It's a big challenge. What would you say to people? Is there any easy way of going about achieving that, do you think, from your experience?
Well, I think, you know, you've got to want to do that. So I think, you know, right at the start, it's for the people at the top of the business, the senior director, the MD, you know, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. They've got to want an environment where people are open and honest, and not everybody does, you know. And so I think it's not every organization is going to achieve the success because not every organization wants it. So I think, you know, setting that plan out right at the start, and then it's about getting that message coming down through the business structure, because what you've got is you've got a load of, you know, in a business, is you've got loads and loads of different perceptions, and you've got sponges, and, you know, and what the perception of the person at the sharp end of the business about health and safety, for argument's sake, compared to what the perception of it from the person at the top can often be different. But that's just because the message hasn't come down in the correct way, and because it gets changed and it gets molded and it gets adapted by the people in the business. And so, you know, it's about it's about trying to break through that, isn't it? By, you know, the guy at the top going out and talking to the people in the business and getting it from the horse's mouth, as it were, about where they are.
Yeah, I think you're, you know, that is very true. And sometimes from my own perspective, I believe that, you know, a lot of the time people are living in a bit of a false reality, and they like to live in a bit of a bubble. You know, in terms of what their perception of the reality is compared to, you know, how it is actually on the ground. And I suppose the point you're making there really made me think about the folks that I am working with, you know, HSE managers primarily, or HSE leaders. It really takes, you know, they are brave. They are the brave ones to me. You know, they're really courageous because they're actually they're holding a mirror up to themselves and allowing, but, you know, by going out into your workforce and asking them for their real opinions and then sharing that, I think it takes a real courageous leader or manager to be able to say, yes, this is something that I want to do, and to really want to listen to people and their opinions. So I really have respect for the people that do step up to that, because it's not easy.
It's not easy at all. And what's quite interesting, you mentioned right at the beginning of our chat here about some of the things that you're doing from an accident investigation perspective. And one of the things that that I hear all the time, whenever you go in and you do an accident investigation, you often hear management saying things like usually, normally, should, those sort of words. We usually do it this way. We normally do it that way. What they're really saying is that is how we'd like it to be done, but we don't actually know. Because the accidents happened, and the accidents happened because the job was being done the way the job is done. And one day a shortcut is taken, or an improvement is made, because a lot of shortcuts are about improvements, and people get away with it, and everybody's happy. And then another day something goes wrong, and all of a sudden the world comes down on them. And I suppose it's the management starting to get more comfortable with actually really understanding how things are done in the workplace. Then you're starting to get that openness, and you're starting to get that transparency. So we don't have, so you don't have these words usually, normally, and should. You have, this is how we do stuff, and it's it works. The majority of the time, it works absolutely fantastically well, and everybody's great. But every now and again, it goes wrong because people make mistakes, and it's about making sure that people, if they do get things wrong, okay, they've got something wrong, but they don't pay the ultimate price. They don't get killed because they got it wrong. There's another control there that stops them getting seriously injured.
We do keep coming back to that in a lot of conversations about, work as it's perceived to be done versus how it's actually done. And all of these themes that we're talking about in terms of communication and building trust, and they all intertwine, don't they? And it's funny how you can just pick one up from listening to another. But interesting to hear your experiences, and are very similar. And it's been good to chat, Colin. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to chat, and hopefully sharing our views here on how things are going and why we're doing what we're doing helps our respective audiences.
I mean, it is lovely to talk to you, because there's no competition at this, is it? We're out there. We're putting some messages out there. It is like you say. It's a shame that James from Rebranding Safety wasn't able to make today. But what we'll do is we'll make sure that we do get together, with him as well, and have a freeway discussion. I don't know how that'll go. Perhaps we ought to do that one over a beer somewhere.
We might
That's
need a moderator. Yeah, no worries. Absolutely. No, we'll get him on for the next one. We'll do it again. And I think it'll be valuable. Well, of course, the audience can tell us if they've got any value out of our conversation here. But thanks for being candid, and hopefully you'll find it interesting to listen to us yarn ourselves just for a change. And any plans for the rest of the day then? You're taking it easy.
I've got some work that I'm starting with a client on Monday, and I'm just finishing off a little bit of the sort of the documentation with that. And that's a project that we're kicking off through the next sort of 2 or 3 months. So that's going to be nice to get that to sort of get that closed out. And I'm probably going to try and finish a little bit earlier today. And then just spend a bit of time with the family, and have a nice weekend. It just seems been all go recently, so it's going to be nice to relax a little bit. What about yourself?
Well, I'm trying to batch produce the podcasts at the moment. To try, I don't know if that's how you do it yourself, but just sort of setting a day aside every month, and I have a few on today, and this is the second last one of another guy on, I think I mentioned earlier, from the Netherlands, and we're chatting around 2 o'clock, so maybe an hour that'll do that one. And I think my wife's finishing early today, and we're taking the kids out this afternoon. So yeah, finishing a bit early. Don't know what the plans are. I'm usually told what the plans are as opposed to making them. So we'll see what happens. But I'm not forgetting that it is Valentine's Day today. So there are certain things need to be discussed. So we'll see how that goes. Great to chat to you, and hopefully I'll keep an eye on what you're up to, and vice versa, I'm sure. Hopefully we can help each other in the future.
No, it's been lovely. It's been lovely to chat, and let's do it again. I'd like to explore a little. You were starting to talk about the 45001 and that interaction. It'd be lovely to chat a bit more about that at some point in the future.
Good stuff. Good man. Okay. Take care of yourself and have a good day. Yeah,
take care. Thanks a lot. Bye bye now.
So there you go. That was it from our very informal chat, my very informal chat with Colin Nottage. Hopefully it came across as it felt. It was very relaxed, and we just sort of started chatting and realized that would be the podcast. So hopefully it's given you a bit more of a background as to what we're both doing. And, you know, it's interesting to you, maybe even inspire you to do something similar yourself. If there is anything, of course, that you're interested in that we discussed and you want to reach out to either of us, please do so. And of course, if you'd like to join me on the Safety Podcast yourself, you think that you can add value in some way from some perspective, which I'm sure a lot of you could, then please reach out to me and we can discuss getting you on the show during our next recording day. So that's it for now. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. Something a bit different for you for this week's podcast, and we'll be back again soon. Take care. Thank you once again for joining us for this episode. We really hope you got value from the content. If you'd like to provide us with some feedback, which we would obviously love, please take a minute to rate and review the podcast on whichever platform you're using. Also, if you enjoyed it, please hit subscribe to make sure you catch our future episodes. And of course, share it with anyone who you think may find it useful. For more free resources and to find out more about what we do, you're always welcome to visit us at safety.com. Until next time, take care and good luck.